One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday morning to you, and welcome to the NTEB House Church Sunday service. Very, very glad that you're here. Nice to see a full chat room. Lots of prayer requests today, and makes me happy to see all those prayer requests. It's good when we are a praying people and we lift each other up, and we have seen God answer so many of our prayers. And we're going to come before him as a church family this morning, and we're going to pray again, and we're going to see what God is going to do and how he's going to work and move in our lives. On Saturday, yesterday, I watched the online funeral service for my friend and former street preacher, Mark Bennett. He died of COVID about a week and a half ago. And I listened as the kind and the true words were spoken over his body, as it lay still in the casket awaiting burial. If the Lord tarries, one day that's going to be you in that box, and one day it's going to be me. The question is, what are we to do between that day and this day? Tick-tock, the bell tolls for thee. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 26 through 28, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. The global pandemic of COVID, with all its vaccine-produced variants, has brought one main thing front and center, and that thing now dominates every conversation in every nation on earth. What is that one thing that everybody is suddenly talking about? Death. Think back for a moment just to 2019, and remember the comparative carefree nature of life before COVID. Sporting events on the Sunday afternoon, parades, cookouts, parties at the lake, and nobody worried about catching anything from anybody. Seems like 100 years ago now, doesn't it? Now all people can talk about is who did or did not take the vaccine, who's on life support, who's sick, who's dead, and who's next. This is our life now. Yet strangely, there's no worldwide revival taking place. There's no great movement of God sweeping our land. Churches are not full with people repenting and getting saved. And people are more focused on COVID than their Creator. I want to preach to you a message this morning about the coming day when Jesus Christ will reign, will put all enemies under his feet, and finally our last enemy, death, will be defeated as well. Now here at NTEB, we are experiencing genuine revival. For those of you who were listening live on Friday, and an amazing thing happened. Michael prayed to get saved right in the chat room. We stopped the entire program so we could deal with Michael and his salvation, and he got saved, and I got on the phone with him later, and we spoke for some time, and his conversion, his salvation is real deal. It's legit. But we've seen that happen almost once a week for the past 4 or 5 weeks. We've seen people pray to get saved right during a broadcast. And to me, that's a pretty good revival. And I want to share a spark of that with you today in the hopes that it will catch on and ignite a blaze in you so bright that death will not get the glory and you will see God high and lifted up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered. We thank you, Father God, for all these that have prayer requests. And Lord, I just know that there's unsaved people listening right now. And I pray that as Michael got saved and Connie got saved and Donna Lynn and June and Damaris and Edward and Rita, God's been giving us quite a harvest here. And I am beyond excited about that. I am beyond grateful for that, that God is blessing this ministry and he's blessing our gathering together and he's using us to get something done in these last days. So Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you. We thank you. We praise you. We ask you to meet with us now. And Lord, we pray for that one who's listening right now, who doesn't know you, in full pardon and forgiveness of their sins, who's wondering, will they get COVID? Will they die? Will today be the day that they face you, either in judgment or glory? And I pray for that soul who's listening right now, Father God, who hasn't yet made that decision. I pray, Lord, that something would be said and done today that would lead that lost soul to you. And I pray, Father God, that if the forces of Satan, who tried to disrupt this program on Friday, and it seems every time somebody gets saved, there's always an argument, there's always a controversy, there's always something. And we pray, Father God, that that would not be the case, that you would set a hedge of protection about us. And you would allow your word to go forward in spirit and in truth. And that unsaved people would get saved and saved people would get right for you and get on fire for you. And we ask all these things, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. We are compiling. Lori Ann is compiling the prayer lists. And in just a little bit, we are going to pray as a church family for all the prayer requests. And we're going to pray for a few that we missed on Friday. We take prayer requests very, very seriously, extremely seriously. One of the policies that we have in the chat room to maintain order, once you get past 180, 200, 230 people, it becomes really, really hard to keep order. And one of the policies that we have is that while the Bible preaching and teaching is going on, that there can be no posting by anybody but me and Jeanette, who's posting scripture. But we have a policy that you have to wait until the end of the program, and we give you time. We don't turn the chat room off. And at the end of every program, we encourage you guys to share links and videos and pictures and whatever it else that you have that will bring glory to God. And on Friday, we had a listener who posted an image in the chat room, and that image was instantly deleted. Now, we didn't know what that image said. It's our policy to delete all images while the preaching and teaching is going on. It was a prayer request. And we did pray for that prayer request on Friday, and that's going to be our first prayer request this morning. And we're going to be doing that in just about 15 or 16 minutes or so. But please keep in mind that we do have a policy that you cannot post anything while the preaching and teaching, the Bible studies, the podcast, you can't post while the teaching is happening. After the teaching is done, you can post just about anything that you want that would bring glory to God, of course. So, just a little reminder of our policy. Looks like we're coming up on around, we just passed 150 people in the chat room. Glad to see everybody today. Very, very glad that you're here. And this morning, I want to bring you a message that is near and dear to my heart. Death is the last enemy that will be destroyed. In the meantime, if you're not saved, you better get saved. You don't know when your death is going to be. I don't know when mine is, and you don't know when yours is. And the only way that you can be ready is you got to get saved. And for those of us that are saved, it's time to get into the fight, get on the front lines, and get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very glad to see you all here this morning.
I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen. Yes.
Yes.
Amen. I've got Jesus. I could not want more. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, Romans 10, 9 through 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We read in Acts chapter 16, very well-known passage. Paul and Silas are imprisoned in the Philippian jail, and they're chained to the wall. And in verse 25 of Acts 16, it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Amen. If you were chained to the wall, falsely imprisoned, would you be singing praises at midnight? Something to think about. You may be in prison for not taking the vaccine. And if that happens, what are you going to do? Paul and Silas sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "Only one thing ye can do." And Paul and Silas told them what that one thing that you've got to do to get saved. It's not repenting of your sins. You can repent of your sins all you want, and if you're saved, you should. But if you're not saved, repenting of your sins won't make a difference. Acts 16:31, the one thing that you need to do to get saved. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." That's the one thing, the only thing that you can do to get saved. And the Bible says that when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you believe, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Paul says in verse 1, "I declare unto you the gospel." There it is. That's exactly what Paul and Silas said in Acts 16. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and you'll be saved. Now, after you get saved, absolutely repent of your sins. Keep short accounts with God. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But 1 John 1:9 is not talking about salvation. 1 John 1:9 is addressed to saved people. Confessing your sins for fellowship. Confessing your sins to restore your relationship with God. Just like if you're married and you get into a fight with your spouse, somebody's sleeping on the couch until the fences are mended. But that's for people who are already married. If you're not married, you've got to propose. Lord Jesus Christ, save me. And that's how you get saved. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Acts 16, John 3, 16, it's all over the place for the New Testament church age believer. We're going to be getting started with our worship. Well, we've already started our worship service. Every song that we play, that's worship. And I hope that you're singing along with these songs at home. I love to sing along with these. It doesn't matter if you have a good voice. The Bible says that David danced unto the Lord. The Bible doesn't say that David was a good dancer. The Bible just says that David danced before the Lord as a token of his love to him. Doesn't matter if you're a good singer. Sing to the Lord.
So shine, putting the stars in the sky for flowers that bloom. The ocean's so blue. Thank you, Lord, for the sparrow that sings. It makes sweet melody for rivers that flow. The rain and the snow. Thank you, Lord, for being a friend so dear, giving my sad heart cheer, for holding my hand when I could not stand. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for me on that cross at Calvary, for taking my place. Your mercy and grace, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. And I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me. And when I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. Thank you, Lord.
Amen and amen, amen. The girl who sang that song has been in heaven for the last 10 years. My friend Mark Bennett has been in heaven for 10 days. One day, you're going to be there if you're saved. I'm going to be there. And if you're not saved, you're going to open up your eyes in a burning, fiery hell. You don't have to go there. You absolutely don't have to go there. A lot of prayer requests this morning, and that makes me very, very happy. Let's start with the first one from Friday, from Fire and Ice. And she wrote, and she said, "Our son is suffering in mental anguish, agony, and is very ill." Her son is in the military. He stated, "These doctors are all in this with big Navy higher-ups, and they're trying to kill us. I did not sign up to be an artificial intelligence robot, have my DNA altered, and become a Nazi to my countrymen. I will not comply. I need your help, Dad. Please tell me what to do. I am done serving this country. These doctors are murderers. Please, God, help me." While he is in tears, crying to his dad. And that's that prayer request from Friday, from Fire and Ice. And her son's in the military. And he needs help, and we're going to pray for him this morning. Shane, also from Friday. "I need prayer when you have a moment. I will be on vacation soon, yearly event with many other families. There will be many Laodiceans there. I need wisdom and the words to try and wake them up from their slumber. I'm sure plenty of unsaved there as well." So J.C. Shane wants prayer for power to witness. Sean says, "Please pray for my partner Rose and my family to find Jesus in their life and to walk closer with him. We come from a Catholic background." Amen. So do I. Michael, who got saved on Friday, he comes from a Catholic background. "I love to see when God saves Roman Catholics. And Sean says, please pray for my partner, Rose, and my family. Jeffrey in Kentucky says, I'm going to head down to the Cincinnati Reds baseball game. He goes every Sunday to preach and hand out tracts. Please pray for me and for my protection. Pray for my lost sons, Tevin and Tyler, daughter-in-law Caitlin and her whole family. Also, my friend Cheryl D., this is from Lorianne. She has a friend by the name of Cheryl D., and she's still in the hospital with COVID pneumonia. She's doing a bit better, but she still has 5 more days of steroid treatment. And that's what my friend Mark Bennett died of, COVID pneumonia. And we're going to pray for Cheryl D. this morning. Denise says, I read your post about the person that got saved on Friday. It was wonderful. I am also glad that you sent him a Bible, not just any Bible, but a King James Ruckman reference Bible. Amen. She says, I have another preacher that I listen to, and they're Baptist, and they refer to Dr. Ruckman. Her prayer request is, please pray for my family to be saved. My sister needs prayer because she has pancreatic cancer. She's saved, but she's in a lot of pain. And Denise says, I need prayer because of my many afflictions, and my dear mother needs to be soothed and pain-free. She's a believer. I'm grateful the Lord gave me her as a mother. And then she says, bless you. I am praying for your ministry. That's from Denise. Char says, prayers for my unsaved family and family that claim salvation but live like heathens. Amen. Gia Camino, CT scan on Friday, praying for a good result. And we're going to lift Gia Camino up and we're going to pray that he gets a good result from that CT scan. Jenny says, I would like to submit a prayer request for this ministry, for NTEB. Pray for continued growth, salvations, touching the lives of lost people. Also want to specifically pray for Brother Jeff that he will be kept safe and not grow weary or discouraged. Amen. Amen. Discouragement takes a lot of people out of the ministry. And Jenny says, also want to lift up Jeanette and Lorianne. Amen. Juanita, I need prayer in general today. Thank you, NTEB family. Hanertz 13, a prayer request for my stepmom's son. Seems he's gone prodigal, that he would come back to Jesus again. Juanita says, my brother Wayne has COVID, and he's 4.5 years older than me. Our relationship is strained, and I didn't know that he was sick. He has 2 small children and 3 stepchildren. So we're going to pray for Juanita's brother, Wayne. Kayla says, my grandson is autistic and running a high fever. Please pray it's not COVID. Chris says, please pray for me to be able to move out of New York City. Mike Hensel, who got saved on Friday. Good to see you in the chat room, brother. Pray for my mom. Her knee gave out and she fell. Pray that God strengthens her knee. Amen. Aunt Nancy says, please pray for my extended family who have COVID. Tammy and Mike also, for my nieces that were exposed. And the other who was a nurse that works with COVID patients. Currently 73 COVID patients in their hospital. Cindy says, prayer request for all people who face the decision of the jab or no job. That's a tough one. That's a real tough one. You got to have the wisdom of Solomon to know what to do there. Terry Tracy says, praise report. Somebody got saved on the streets of my local city during the outreach time. Amen. Angel says, prayers for my mother, Rose Marie. She's 88. She fell down. She's in bed. She took the jab. She needs to be saved. She's Catholic, and she's very ill. So we're going to pray for healing and salvation for Rosemary. Shayla Clark, pray for the tracks that I put into the car windshields earlier. Gia Camino, my friend Bernadette, who was listening on her phone this morning. Welcome, Bernadette. Glad that you're listening and If you're not saved, I hope something is said today that will lead you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Rob says, arthritis, getting worse and more painful. Please pray. Donna Lynn, prayer request for my children that they get saved. Karen, prayer for salvation for my children, Jason and Tiffany, and grandchildren Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Lots of unsaved kids. Daniel 777, a prayer request for myself and many others elsewhere who face getting fired for refusing the jab. It's rapidly becoming the number one issue of our day. Guest Cheryl, my son Brian needs prayer. His marriage is failing. He's drinking. He made a profession at age 8, but there's no fruit. He was taught the truth. God, I pray that God shows him if it was real or not. My son is sinking fast. That is every mother's heartbreak, watching their son go through something like that. And we're going to pray that Brian gets saved. A lot of the times people make a decision in a youth camp, but it's not real. Sometimes it is, but a lot of the times it's not. And we're going to pray for Brian's salvation this morning. Palmetto State guy, prayers for my workplace. They have indicated that they don't have plans to require the jab, but they are once again offering a $500 bonus to employees who get the jab by a certain day next month. Also prayers for my brother-in-law, who just received a kidney last week from my mother-in-law. Amen. Prayers for her too. Shauna, 1970, prayers for co-workers to stay strong and trust God when facing the death shot or be fired. I've already committed not to take the jab. Amen. I have committed to not take the jab as well. Angel, pray for my daughter Martina, a doctor with Cleveland Clinic who might be forced to take the jab. She knows that it's poison. Chrissy, please pray for my feet. I have heel spurs and a trapped nerve in my left foot. It's painful to walk, and I'm getting steroid injections. I hope you guys are really listening to all of these prayer requests. Have your heads bowed. I'm not in the chat room right now. I can't see what's going on. But I really hope everybody is taking these prayer requests very, very seriously. This today might be the most prayer requests that we've ever had. And I just hope that everybody's taking it very seriously. And as I bring these prayer requests up, you're bowing your head, you're taking a moment. Now, if you need a prayer request, please post that in the chat room. Absolutely. But I really hope everybody's praying for all of these people and all of these needs. SC says, Krista, please pray for my mother. Her name is Helen. She has a problem with a heart valve and feels like her heart is failing. The Bible says in the time of the tribulation, men's hearts will be failing them for fear. And right now, Krista's mother's heart feels like it's failing. We pray that God gives her heart a healing. SC says, my daughter Tori's salvation. This is a heartbreaker. Listen to this. My daughter Tori's salvation. She went to college as a Christian and she came out an atheist. I have been praying for her salvation for 7 years. Since she told me she doesn't believe anymore. So SC wants us to pray for her daughter Tori's salvation. She lost her faith in college. Somebody once said that education without salvation is damnation. And we're going to pray that Tori, we're going to pray that she comes back to the Lord, and if she wasn't truly saved, we're going to pray that she gets saved. Ron Wooter says, praying for salvation for all who need it. Shay Caster, praying for all our regulars who are not here but away on family issues with health. Terry Tracy, please pray for the young lady that got saved during my local outreach time yesterday. She is homeless and surrounded by men trying to use her. It's terrible. Patty says, pray for my family. The devil has been attacking my husband through our son. Our grandson is not even 13 and has said that he's gay. We haven't even spoke to the parents since this text announcement, and it's been almost a year. Very hurtful. At least let us tell them we love them and praying for them, and Jesus can forgive and save. Jesus Saves says, prayers for my sister Cassie, who's listening today for the first time. She is saved, but she has a lot of struggles that she is facing. Cassie, I'm going to give a very encouraging message today. We're talking about death, but I promise you that this message will encourage you. I promise. SC says, prayer for strength to continue as a mental health counselor. So many people are being led by Satan. Phyllis T says, pray for my husband Jeff to be sure that he is saved and then to become on fire for Jesus to show more spiritual fruit and to heal from newfound prostate issues. Shayla Clark, prayer request for my husband Glenn Henry. And Shayla's listening live from Brazil. Beth Peck, please pray for my family to be saved, especially my husband and in-laws who are Catholic. Chris says, prayer for Elizabeth Brennan Gula, who is taking care of my sister Bunny. Amen. Jay Kitty, Jeanette, please keep my mother in prayer. She's having heart surgery on Tuesday, and Dad needs a similar operation, but they have put off his for a few months because of COVID. Dobbin says, please pray for salvation for my mother, Renate. Thank you. His grace is enough for me. Please pray for my middle son who has COVID. He is washed in the blood. David says, pray for my wife and I as we are battling CPS for custody of our grandchildren. And Rachel K says, please pray for my husband and I. We have two handicapped children and a business, and we are incredibly stressed and our marriage is strained. I also want to pray for Harmon's son, Michael, who is battling pancreatic cancer. And I want to pray for Anita Bennett and her son, Kingsley. That's the wife and son of Mark Bennett, whose funeral was yesterday. And I want to lift up Anita Bennett and Kingsley, that God would give them much courage and help during this time. Reagan Gorzel, please pray for my 9-year-old daughter Eden would get better from RSV. Husband and I are dealing with symptoms and I'm heading back to work. 5th grade teacher tomorrow. It's hard leaving your children to go back to work. Amen. Amen. It is very hard to do that. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, with all these prayer requests, the most requests we've ever had for any program. And people need to hear from you today, God, not me. Take me out of the way, God. Speak through me, Holy Spirit. We're going to open up your word today. We're going to lift you up. Chris says, please pray for my cousin Margaret LaBoudière in Alabama. She has health issues, also salvation. And Lord, for all these prayers for health and healing and finances and reconciliation and salvation, people facing taking a vaccine that they don't want to take or losing their job. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get so much worse. COVID is raging everywhere. Death has grabbed the headlines. And today, Lord, we're going to reverse that. We're going to undo that. And we're going to give you, Father God, the headline today. Your word says that if you be lifted up, you'll draw all men unto yourself. And today, Lord, we're going to come before you. We're going to lift you up. Lord, today we have people who have children who have wandered away, that have become prodigal. We have family members who are sick with COVID that need a healing. We have issues, God, that only you can repair. We are surrounded by death and discouragement everywhere we look. But your word, Lord, there is hope. And not just any hope, but there is that blessed hope. Your word tells us, Lord, in Titus 2:13, that we are to be looking for that blessed hope of the pre-tribulation rapture and of the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And Father God, for all these prayers and all these people and all these needs, we ask you to work and move as only you can, Father God. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou High King of Heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach Heaven's joys, O bright Heaven's Son. Heart of my own heart, whatever be, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for all these prayer requests and for all these people that prayed. And we commit this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. All right, everybody, welcome. Welcome. That was an amazing time of prayer, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what God's going to do with those prayers. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in your King James Bibles. This is an amazing chapter. 1 Corinthians 15 teaches you about the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 starts off by telling you, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. And the first four verses of 1 Corinthians 15, this is the gospel, what Paul calls my gospel. This is the gospel for born-again church-age believers. But our dispensation is coming to an end. And our dispensation is going to end in something called the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, which is talked about farther down in the passage. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 52. talks about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. I take my text this morning from verses 26 through 28 in 1 Corinthians 15. 26 through 28. But actually, we're going to start, let's see where we're going to start. Well, let's just start reading in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign. This is the coming millennial reign of Jesus Christ that ends in the battle of Gog and Magog and the great white throne judgment. And then 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about the new heavens and the new earth. That's what verse 25 is talking about. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Today I want to talk to you about the common enemy that we all have. And that common enemy is death. Adam and Eve were told that in the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall die. God wasn't talking about physical death. He was talking about spiritual death. The Apostle Paul tells us that in Adam, all die. But in Jesus Christ, all shall be made alive. And that's an amazing thing to think about. Everybody was rejoicing on Friday, and I've been getting amazing messages all weekend long from people all over the world, excited that Michael prayed during our podcast. It wasn't even a Bible study. It wasn't even a church service. It was just a podcast, but we take Jesus Christ wherever we go. And everybody was so excited on Friday that Michael got saved and he prayed to get saved. And now his eternal destiny is fixed. The day that Michael dies, he'll breathe a breath in here on earth and he'll exhale that breath in heaven. Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul says, now we see in part and we know in part, but then face to face. But we have a common enemy. And that common enemy, whether you're saved or lost today, is death. Death is not just a condition. Death is not just an event that takes place. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, talking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, Revelation 6, verses 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. So we are headed towards a time that will take place after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. This world, this earth, is headed toward a period of time where death is going to be personified and is going to ride, as it were, on a horse across this whole world. Excuse me. Why do you think it is that we're living in a time of global pandemic? Why do you think it is that we're living in a time where death is taking the headlines? You don't read stories about people who had COVID and then beat COVID. You don't read a whole lot of those stories. The mainstream media is making sure that every single major story that you read about is somebody dying from COVID who refused to take the vaccine. Because what they want to do is they want to inject you with these vaccines. Now, we're going to talk on the podcast tomorrow, just like we did on Friday. We're going to talk about that on the podcast. But why are they glorifying death? Why is every image that they show you somebody on a ventilator taking their last breath and dying? 99.1% of everybody who's ever had COVID has recovered from COVID. And it's very, very sad when people don't recover from COVID. My friend Mark Bennett died last week. He was here at the studio right before the bookstore opening back in May. And he was filled with life. He gave me a big hug, told me how proud he was of the work that we were doing here, told me that he's praying for us. He gave me a big hug and he turned and he walked away, and that's the last time that I ever saw him. And he died of COVID pneumonia. COVID is no joke. COVID is a real virus. Do your best to not catch it. But if you do catch it, 99.1% of everybody who catches it will beat it. So why is death being glorified? Well, because the world is preparing itself to receive Antichrist. The world is preparing itself to go through the time of Jacob's trouble. Israel is preparing to make a covenant with death and with hell. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28. I just read to you those verses from Revelation 6, verses 7 and 8, where it talks about death and hell personified and riding on a pale horse. And in Isaiah chapter 28, the Bible says the scripture of truth tells us that the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, God's holy land, is going to make a covenant with personified death. Isaiah 28, 14 through 18. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 14 through 18. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. That's Revelation 6, verses 7 and 8. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion. This is Jesus Christ. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. This is Jesus Christ in verse 16. Verse 17 says, judgment also will I lay to the line. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. And righteousness to the plummet and the hail. God tells Job about the hail that he is reserved unto the day of battle. And here it is. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Revelation chapter 12 tells us about a flood. Daniel tells us about a flood. And this is the flood that Leviathan, the piercing serpent, Satan, is going to send after the nation of Israel, a literal, actual flood. And then verse 18 says, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. From morning by morning shall it pass over, and day by day, and by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. This is the great tribulation. Today, we're talking about the last enemy that is to be destroyed by Jesus Christ, and that enemy is death. How many times in your life have you seen death ruin everything? I can remember when I was 28 years old and my older brother got sick with HIV/AIDS, and he listened to Anthony Fauci's advice and he took a very deadly drug called AZT in the hopes of healing himself. His doctor prescribed it to him, and that drug killed him. And I remember that when my brother died, I was so overcome with grief that I didn't think I was going to live through it. It was the most upsetting thing that had ever happened to me in my life. Watching my brother, who was my best friend, I loved him more than I loved anybody else, and watching him die from what turned out to be drug poisoning. Anthony Fauci was killing people 40 years ago. This is not something new that he's learned. And when my older brother died, it put a hole in my heart that I thought could never, ever possibly be healed. But it did get healed, because it was his death that made me think about my death. It was my brother Bob's dying that made me think, one day, that's going to be me. Probably not from HIV/AIDS, but there's a whole lot of other things that can kill you besides HIV/AIDS. There's a whole lot of other things that can kill you besides COVID. Every single day, 3,200 babies are murdered in the womb through abortion. Every single day. Every single day, 450 people in America die in alcohol-related car crashes. There are a lot of other things that can kill you besides COVID. And when my brother passed away, that caused me, for the very first time in my life, to think about my death. And I thought about my death so much that I realized that only one thing was going to solve my problem. I had to find out who God was. Now, God has been very gracious to me in my life. Many times I could have died, and I did not. When I was born with a medical condition known as pyloric stenosis. And pyloric stenosis is, simply put, it is the opening at the bottom of your stomach that opens to let food pass through. People who were born with pyloric stenosis, that is sealed off, and the bottom of your stomach does not open up. And what happens is, when a baby has pyloric stenosis, the food that they eat gets regurgitated, and they wind up dying of starvation. Now, my mother told me many, many times that only a couple of years before I was born, and I was born in 1961, my mother told me many, many times that shortly before that I was born, doctors had not figured out how to operate on a baby, a tiny little newborn baby, successfully to open up the stomach hole. Now, in our day and age, that's something that doctors don't even think about. We have such advanced technology that no baby dies of pyloric stenosis. They can just go in and they can open up that flap, and it's almost outpatient surgery. But in the years before that I was born, that was the mark of death. If your baby was born with pyloric stenosis, your baby died. And my mother told me that she knew of people who they had their baby, and the doctor said, "I'm very sorry, your baby has pyloric stenosis. There's nothing that we can do." And my mom would tell me that the mother and the child would be given a private room, and so that the mother could hold her baby as the baby starved to death and died in her arms. I was born with that condition. And the doctor who performed the surgery on me told my mother that when he was cutting my stomach open to perform the surgery, it was like cutting tissue paper. And my scar, I still have it. It's a pretty thick scar. My scar used to be about a third of my stomach, but as I've gotten older and taller, it's only about an inch long now. But that's how I came into this world. I came into this world with something that killed a lot of babies. But God gave me grace and God gave me mercy. And I did not die from that condition, even though a lot of other babies did. I can remember when I was 19 and I got appendicitis, but I didn't know that it was appendicitis. I didn't have the typical symptoms. My mother thought that I had the flu, and I was in bed Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday morning, Monday night, Tuesday morning. I'm not eating, I'm not drinking, I'm throwing up. And my family doctor, who was my dad's best friend, stops by to help my dad fix the garage roof. And my mother says to him, "On your way out, would you check on Jeffrey? I think he has the flu, but I'm not sure." And that one tiny request of my mother to our family doctor, who was my dad's best friend, Dr. Colfax, that one request from my mother saved my life. Because when Dr. Colfax examined me, he turned to my mother and said, if it was my son, I would take him for an X-ray. I think it's his appendix. And so my mom and dad put me in the car and they took me to the doctor. The doctor took an X-ray of my appendix, of that area. They immediately prepped me for emergency surgery. The doctor the next day told me that had I spent one more day in that bed, I would have died in that bed. He said my appendix was swollen to 8 times its normal size, and he could barely even remove it from my body without rupturing it. So I almost died when I was born. I almost died when I was 19. When I look at what's happening today with COVID, and I go before the Lord in prayer, I remind him that he's my great physician, that he's my doctor. And I remind him that he saved my life when I was a newborn baby. And I remind God that he, I give God the credit for these things. Not the doctor, not my mother, I give God the credit for these things. He used my mom, he used the doctor, absolutely. But I remind God, when I look at COVID, I remind God that he saved my life not once, but twice. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you're worried about COVID today, if you're worried about dying, you hear me talking about my friend Mark Bennett, who's dead. His funeral was yesterday. And if you're discouraged, you see these news headlines everywhere that you look. Death, 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 death. If you're born again, I'm not saying that you won't die of COVID. I am simply saying that if you're a born-again Christian, then you're trusting the same God who saved my life twice, who spared me for a purpose, for a reason. Remember in the book of Esther? Remember when Mordecai goes into Esther and says, hey, Esther, you got to get this thing done. You got to go tell your husband, the king, about this evil plan from Haman that's going to kill all the Jews. Nobody knew that Esther was a Jew. And Esther said, Uncle Mordecai, and I'm obviously paraphrasing, Esther said, Uncle Mordecai, if I go in, I don't have an audience with the king. If I go in with the king and he doesn't raise the golden scepter, I'm dead. And Esther was afraid for her life. But I want you to listen to what her uncle Mordecai said in response. And the words from her uncle Mordecai are God's words. In Esther chapter 4, starting in verse 13, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? What is Mordecai telling Esther? He is telling Esther that if she does not go to the king with her petition, God is going to destroy her and her father's house. And he is going to use Haman, who was a type of Antichrist, to do it. But then Mordecai, after he says, you better do this thing. If you don't, God's going to let Haman destroy you and your father's house and all the Jews. But then he asks her the question that changed everything. In Esther 4:14, he says to Esther, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Well, Esther thinks about that. She chews on that for a little bit. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Verse 16, go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. What had happened in Esther that made the change? She lost her fear of death. How did she lose her fear of death? Because she focused on God. She didn't focus on the headlines. She didn't focus on the problem. She focused on God and she trusted God. Now, are there people during this COVID crisis that are trusting God that have died of COVID? Absolutely. We prayed for my friend Mark Bennett. We prayed for him every program that we did the entire week and a half that he was sick in the hospital. We didn't miss one time to pray for him. And while we were praying for him, we were also praying for Betty from Cocoa, Florida, who had COVID. We were praying for Joshua Gaskins, his wife and 3 children, who had COVID. We were praying for a lot of people who had COVID. Everybody got better but Mark Bennett. Now, why would that be? I don't have that answer. That is a God question and answer. Only eternity will reveal why God took Mark and didn't take anybody else. The pastor of my old church here in St. Augustine, he's had COVID for the last week, and he's had it pretty badly. But he wasn't hospitalized, and it looks like he's going to recover. This morning in our prayer request, we prayed for a number of people who have COVID. The vast majority of those people will recover. When Esther finally realized that she was bought with a price, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What did Esther decide to do? She decided to glorify God. She decided that she was not going to live in fear. She decided that she was going to trust the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if in the process of trusting the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, she died, she said, well, okay, if I perish, I perish. Remember what Jesus Christ told Peter after he rose from the grave? And that amazing victory over sin and death was wrought when Jesus Christ rose on the third day according to the scripture. What did Jesus say to Peter? He gave him a prophecy about death. John 21:18. This is Jesus talking to Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. There's the Christian life for you. Jesus prophesied over Peter, told him how he was going to die, told him that his death was going to bring glory to God. And then he says, hey, Pete, follow me. The Apostle Paul, who's our apostle for the church age, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul says this, talking about his own impending death. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul says, I have fought a good fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. I have finished my course. That's Acts 20:24. And Paul says, I have kept the faith. Paul said, yes, I may be getting ready to die, but I am going to go into this like Esther. If I perish, I perish. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Paul says in Acts 20, verses 22 through 24, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul is facing his own death. But then he says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? So that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry." 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. "So that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." How could Paul go into his own death with that attitude? Because his life was not his own. He was bought with a price, and he knew that God had paid that price for him, and that same God was going to see him home to glory. When you see all these headlines about death, and we have a media and a government and governments in every country, and all they want you to do is focus on death. Paul knew he was going to die, but he didn't focus on death. Peter knew that he was going to die, but he didn't focus on death. You and I are going to die if the Lord tarries and the rapture doesn't take place. But we are not called to focus on death. We are called to get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ while time remains. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, increase it. If you're praying, double your prayer life. If you're giving, double your giving. If you're witnessing, if you're preaching, if you're ministering, double it. Do not give death the glory. Give God the glory. And that same God that you trusted on the day that you got saved, 30 years ago I prayed and asked God to save me. I've had a lot of ups and downs in the last 30 years. I've had a lot of living right and a lot of living wrong and everything in between. But I've never doubted for a single second that God saved me 30 years ago when I asked him to. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved today, you need to get saved like Michael did on Friday. You need to get saved like Connie did last week. And Rita 2 weeks ago, and Demarius a month ago, and Edward, and Thomas, and Donna Lynn, and June, and all the other people that have prayed to get saved through this ministry. If you're listening right now and you're not saved, you are here for a heavenly reason. And you're here to hear the gospel of the grace of God that you might be saved. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 50, I only have a couple of minutes left, I have to go quick. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 50, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." You want heaven, you got to die. "Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." You can't take your body with you, got to leave it behind. "Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump," is the rapture of the church, "for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin," going all the way back to Adam and Eve, "and the strength of sin is the law." The law never saved anybody. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Are you, if you're saved today, are you witnessing? When you pass other people in the street and everybody's wearing a mask and everybody's walking around afraid and in fear and everybody is focused on death, how amazing is it that you can reach into your pocket and you can hand somebody a gospel tract and you can tell them how they can get saved? Don't give death the glory. God doesn't give death the glory. Give God the glory. Esther gave God the glory. She said, if I perish, I perish. Job gave God the glory. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Paul gave God the glory. None of these things move me, he said. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Peter gave God the glory. He willingly went to his own execution. How about you? It's highly likely if you get COVID that you're not going to die from it. But you might. People do die from it. But even if COVID doesn't get you, cancer, a heart attack, a brain hemorrhage, traffic accident, murder, falling down, being hit by a bus, being hit by a car, being struck by lightning. There's all sorts of things that can kill you. But the question that I want you to ask yourself today is, as you go through your life in these very perilous times, what are you putting your trust in? Are you putting your trust and faith in the same God that Esther, Job, Moses, Samuel, David, Paul, John, Peter? Doesn't the Bible say that all of these stories are there for our admonition and they're there for our learning? That we can look at what other people went through who had faith in the God of Abraham and how they handled the calamities of their day? They said, if I perish, I perish. Because death was not the focus. God was the focus. And when God is your focus, life goes a whole lot better. That doesn't mean that you won't die. It just means that when and if you do die, that you die giving God the glory and not giving death the glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here this morning. And Father, I pray if there's one who is listening today that does not know you as Savior, that something would be said and done that would lead that lost soul to you. And Lord, for all these that you've gathered that are saved, get us on fire for you, Lord, that we'll get something done for you in these last days. Let us not be afraid of death. Let us go to that death, praising your name and warning the lost and telling people how to get saved. Let us focus on you, Father God, and let you worry about death, that your word says one day soon you're going to put death under your feet. We put our trust and faith in you, Lord, and I pray, Lord, for everybody who's listening today that's lost, that they'll get saved. And I pray for everybody who's listening that's saved, that they'll get on fire for you and want to get something done that will last for all eternity. And I ask all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so very much for tuning in today. Thank you for all the prayer requests. Please remember to pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for the lost. We get lost people listening to this program all the time. Please pray that God continues to give us a harvest And I thank you so very much for your continued support, for your prayers, for your donations. We're expanding the Bible program. We're expanding everything that we do because of you. Thank you so very, very much. Lord willing, we're going to see you back here tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great afternoon, everybody.